sister to me, really. I mean, just, I loved her. Two girls that I prayed for, ladies that I prayed for dearly. I mean, I prayed hard for these girls. Was Hannah and Debbie, for them to both be married. And bang. I mean, God is good.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, I'm going to keep praying. There's going to be more leaving. So no.
More stipulations.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, here. Yeah, we got to keep them around here. But I don't know whose water it is, but boy, that's good. But you know, God is good. He knows what He knows when it's time, and He knows that person.
That's a thing that people have lost these days, including myself. Thank God He's worked this relationship out between me and my wife, but people jump into something so quickly and I have no clue about anything and wonder why it ends in divorce.
And I thank God I got saved, or thank God she got saved, and we don't have to worry about divorce anymore. And but anyway, so you know, I said goodbye to David yesterday. I gave him a hug. His vows just touched me, second to none, because he was just straight up forward. He's going to mess up, but I'm going to do the best I can, or you're going to be by my side. That's really what it's about. Gaining that trust with each other, that things aren't always going to go perfect, but we're going to be there for each other. We're going to be able to hold each other. You're going to start trusting me, and we're going to get through things. And then as I hugged him, I whispered in his ear, I said, David, I know how to drive, and I know how to shoot. I said, you better take care of me. We'll see you guys soon. And you know, he just looked at me and said, yes, sir. And I just believe it's going to be something good. And hey, I was just letting him know I love that girl. She's like a sister to me, man. I mean, you guys don't understand. When I say you're my friends and such, I mean that with my heart. I don't look at you guys as no strangers and all that stuff. I don't. But pray for me, because... hey, I mean, that's what family's all about. But...
We met. I'm trying to move next year.
No.
I want to go, but I don't think the Lord's going to let it happen. But
thank God.
I'm jealous of David and Debbie, because they get to go somewhere I want. I know a lot of people don't. I love the South. I don't care what you guys think of it, your own personal opinions and such. But me, it's just in my heart, man, to be down South. And I'm just saying, Lord, if it's ever you will for me to go, you know what? I think he's up there going, nah, you're going to Alaska. I'm not sitting anywhere. But I'm all right here, man. I mean, it took a lot for the Lord to really make me content being here. Amy knows, I had a hard time with being in Allegheny County. I had a hard enough time already being up north, but then coming here and... It was a big mess, but you know, the Lord just worked on my heart, and you know what He really showed me, what really started making me content, is there's people here who are lost and dying and going to hell right in Allegheny County who need somebody that's going to get out there and love them and be their friend and show them the hope that is inside of me. So why would I need to go anywhere else?
Amen.
I mean, I joke around about it. I would love to be down there. But why go anywhere than when it's right here? There's a whole ground right here. I mean, there's Allegheny, Cattaraugus. It's all right here in driving distance. There's people out there who are lost, and they don't know the way. They don't have any hope. I mean, I hear story after story, all that. I just go, gosh, I wish I could have just maybe said something to that person that maybe they would have seen something, whatever. So it's right here. And
so I don't have to go anywhere. I joke around about it, but... God has just been good to me and my wife, even through hard times. We don't deserve it.
And I will never imagine myself standing here as a saved person going on 4 years this year. October made 4 years. And what the Lord has done in my life, it floors me. I think it was last week, I brought a client to the doctor's. And this guy, I told the Sunday school class, he screw-faced me going in. And he just looked at me like, bah. And all I did was say hi to him. But that's the tough guys in Allegheny County. That's one of the hard things I had to get used to, was these people walking around thinking they're all tough.
Yeah.
You know me, I like it. So this guy just looked at me. And I go, how you doing? And I'm like, man, where'd that come from? So I sat there and I just said, my gosh, that's the Christianity. It's making me soft. I didn't say nothing bad. It didn't even hurt. It didn't even bother me. I said, hey, this whole thing. I said, what's going on? I asked my wife, I said, huh? I said, Do you know this Christianity thing is really changing? She, why? I told her the story. I said, it's making me soft, man. I'm not hard, you know. I'm not the hardness of that kind of stuff. That would really have just set me off over the edge, seeing have somebody do that to me. And I really just took that thing and I said, that was really just, and I got excited.
Amen.
Because I want to be that way. I want to be at the table when somebody can do that to me. I just sit there. It doesn't bother me. Because I've always reacted the idiot way. I know how to throw fists and talk all this garbage. But here, now I'm going to go up and I'm knocking, and the person's going to answer the door. And guess what? The very one that I cussed at and swore at and everything else is going to be standing on that side of the door. Now I'm going to sit there and try to tell him about Jesus Christ?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. That ain't going to work too well.
That's right.
You know, so I just, little things like that get me excited about my salvation. I like that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean to come up and just start swinging off on it, because I might not hold off all the time. I'm just kidding. We're going to go to Luke 13. And I just told the Lord, you know, I asked him, I said, please keep everybody awake. 1 o'clock, hard service. Everybody's done eating. The sickness has been going around. It's hard to stay awake when you're just tired, you know. And I met one pastor, told me, yeah, Dad, you're going to start doing it 1 o'clock. I said, oh, good. I get all the zombies. You know, everybody's going to be sleeping on me, you know. All right. He said, Pastor Hayes is going to take over Wednesdays. I'm like, oh, great, you know. And but it's been fun, man. The Lord's been blessing it. We're going to start in Luke 13. I do have a title on this. I like putting a title on because that's just what comes to my mind. And then the Lord runs with it. It's called Filling the Pews. Filling the Pews. I gave a little Pastor Haynes on what I'll be preaching on yesterday. But so we're going to start in verse 6, Luke 13, 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit therein and found none. Verse 7, then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that I shall cut it down. This is a picture of when a man gives up on someone getting saved. Jesus said, now it's my time to step in and do the work. You see, our pastor is the type that when you come into this church, if you're not saved, he's not trying to force anything down your throat. He knows that some digging and dunging needs to be done in your life.
Amen.
He's not ready to cut that tree down and cast it out like others are if you're not saved right away. He's ready to sit there and let that thing go until the Holy Ghost moves in your heart and shows you what needs to be. But you know what's filling the pews today? The ones filling the pews are those ones that a man has forced something down their throat and they were not ready. Their eyes haven't been opened to the point where God needed to get them for salvation. Where a man has stepped in and ruined the work of the Holy Ghost. Has absolutely stopped and blinded these people. And you know what we need today? We need people to leave people alone and let them sit there under Holy Ghost conviction and hear the preaching and let God work in their life.
Yeah.
Man needs to step back and move out yourself out of the way. Mm-hmm. Who are we? Who are we? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so neither is it he that planted anything, nor he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Here in the King James Bible is a picture of salvation taking time in someone's life. Salvation does not only come by a prayer in the Romans Road. Sometimes it takes work of the Holy Ghost to dig and dung it. As it says in Luke 13, 8, we are saved by faith and by grace, not of our works, but God's.
Yeah.
Man has gotten so messed up, Pastor Haynes, where they think the work comes through them.
Yeah.
God may use us. He may give us the words and whatever else, but it is not us that causes the increase in a person.
Yeah.
Oh boy, have we overstepped them bounds? Have preachers and evangelists and so on have stepped a bound where they should have never had gone? And now it has messed up a lot of lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's two of them sitting right here. And thank God we have a pastor and a preacher that has sat there and let us not be left alone and let God do his work in us. Otherwise, that would have sent me and my wife straight to hell.
Ask her, she's sitting right there, she'll tell you the same thing.
Straight to hell we would have been if he would have forced anything on us. Mm-hmm. We had people come in this very church trying to stroke us and tell us we're okay just the way we are. Did we not? Yes or no? Man has got to back off and let God do the increasing. Mm-hmm. We cannot do the increasing. Oh, how bad do we want it though? Sure, how great it is to see somebody get saved and their life change. But you know what? It's not up to us when and how. It's up to God to do that. And we need to step back. So why are so many Baptists pushing the work of man on people, not the works of the Holy Ghost? We may plant and water when we preach, but God and only God will bring the increase. Salvation is in no other, Acts 4:12. Neither is the salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Not Dale, not John Asquith, not even Roger Haynes will one be saved, only by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we need to get that into our heads and our hearts. Gosh, yes, it's a desire in our heart, and I'm sure it's a desire in Pastor John's and Pastor Haynes. It's a desire to see people get saved, but we can't continue to go out there and rush salvation on somebody and they miss it.
Yeah.
I agree with Pastor to sit back and let these people hear the preacher. Let them get convicted. Let the Holy Ghost do what he needs to do. And let the true salvation come out of heaven. And guess what we end up with if we don't? People fill in the pews and that's it.
Yes.
Nothing else comes.
Mm-hmm.
We have churches today. Oh, I got 170. I got 200. I got 400. How many of them are saved? Or how many of them are just people filling that pew? How many of them are just out there filling that pew? Because a man has come up and stroked their ego and told them, you're okay with this. Nothing happens. It's not us. Sometimes salvation for a person takes time because when man finally gets out of the way, Jesus steps in. He has to trim some stuff back. He has to dig about it in that person's heart and dung it with the Word of God so that that person can see what they need to get saved. It's time for man and his ways to move out of the way and allow Jesus to get in there and do what is needed to be done. And a lot more people will get Bible salvation instead of some false profession that doesn't even last 24 hours. When Jesus saves, my friend, it's for eternity.
Amen.
Eternity. When I got saved 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, it happened for eternity. You know what? We got Bible salvation, Amy. It wasn't a man's salvation. We got a true, absolute conversion out of a Bible salvation. I got a message that I preach, and it's called Bible salvation, not man's salvation. So many men want to come up and tell you what is salvation, and this is what it means to me. Get in the King James Bible and find out what salvation is. Real Christianity, true conversion, repentance. This is what salvation is. This is what God meant for it to be. Not for any man to come up with some concept in his head and go out there and preach that thing and get people lost and dying and going to hell. Never did a thing for them. Listen, I'm just telling you now. I went out there when I was in prison and I preached to some mean, nasty, tough old dudes. And you know what? I went out there and I preached as a lost person. Told Brother Haynes yesterday, I said, me and my wife, I preached at the city mission and all that. We used to stand on the street corners and preach. We used to stand there with signs on the street. The lady, Dan and Karen, and Amy would sit there with signs on them, about repentance or whatever, and I'd stand there and preach in the streets. That's what we did all the time. We were song leaders, preached at Buffalo City Mission, all that stuff. My brother and they were in the song, and they're singing with us and all that. And you know what? We'd leave church, light up some cigarettes, smoke some dope, drink some beer, cuss, watch pornography, and everything else as a lost person out there doing that kind of stuff. Why? Because we kept having somebody tell us that we were okay. And that conviction we were feeling was nothing. It was just because we were doing this. Yep. Almost cost us eternity. Thank God for a long-suffering God. Thank God for a God who loves us. Thank God for a God who finally brought somebody here that I listened to. Because I'm just telling you now, it's a knucklehead. When he first approached me, I rejected him. Then he started preaching this. And I was always fatuated. I'm just going to tell you, since Old Time Baptist Church preached to me in prisons, I got infatuated. I started getting into a King James Bible and I fell in love with it, didn't I, Amy? I wouldn't go to another phony church. I couldn't, even as a lost person, I couldn't stand there and listen to somebody trying to preach another so-called Bible. It drove me up the wall. Because Amy was going to a Wesleyan church at the time. Will you please come to my church? church, and it drove me up the wall to sit there and watch that garbage.
Old time Baptists, you know, they planted a seed in me. They planted a seed in me, and you know what? It just took God to get the increase.
Amen.
People labored over my soul, labored over my wife's soul, but it took God to get the increase. And man has lost that ability to step back and let God finish the work. They want to rush everybody and everything all the time. They just want to go ahead and cram it down their throat, put a notch on their belt, and say, okay, let's go. No! God forbid. There's people I work with right now that I love dearly. They're my friends. I would love to see them get saved. I really just would. But God forbid if I ever cross that line where I think I'm God and I'm going to try to get them saved under my conviction. I'm not God. I can't bring conviction, but He sure can. He one brought salvation to me. Thank God. It's time for us to step back. Here we see a perfect example in Luke 13, verses 23-28 of people filling the pews and having not salvation. Not all who claim salvation have it. The proof is in their life. Listen, you hear people all the time. When I first started working with this certain person, I'm not going to name the name. I said, so where do you stand with God? Oh, I believe one time I got saved. Maybe I got saved one time is what they told me. How many people can you go out right now out here and have heard the Romans Road and all this and believe for one second that they're saved? Now you got to go out there as a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, you got to work with them people. Now you've got to let the Bible either convince them that they are or they are not. That's what you're up against as a pastor. That's what you're up against as a preacher. That's what you're up against as an evangelist. Is a whole nation of people who have heard this Romans Road and this easy believism and this prayer, NIV, ASVB, that have so distorted their mind and how true salvation and repentance is. And now you've got to go out there and try to work with them people. That takes the power of God to move in somebody's life, not you. There's no way on God's green earth I could ever. I'm going to tell you something. I told my Sunday school this. You guys know my testimony. You've heard my testimony. How about this? My family lived it and saw it. How many do I have sitting in these pews? It's not the work of man that gets people in these pews. The work of the Holy Ghost, it's the work of God that does it. And God forbid if we ever, as men of God, or even ladies that are out there doing, if we ever get a busted, bloated head where we think we're anything to get these church pews filled. We are not. We are to be obedient, to go out there and love people and share the hope with them and, you know, give them the word and be their friend and so on and so forth. But it's not my job. I can't force anything on anybody. I would love to force salvation on my mom and my brother and all them, but you know what? I cannot do it. Number one, I want them to get real salvation if it ever comes. Real. I've already sat back and known, and Amy's already known that there's a lot of our families on both sides that are never, probably may never ever get saved. Ever. Ever. Listen, my mother has sat there, my brother has sat there, they've watched me go through. You guys have heard my testimony, they've watched me go through it, and yet they get them to come into a church pew. How many of us, you guys got powerful testimonies? You see, when we go out there and we try to use ourselves without God, it doesn't work. You would think my families would be flipping to get in here. They'd be doing backflips, paying at the front door to come in here. Because they know. They see the change that Jesus Christ has done. You know what it's like? It's like they don't see any change in me whatsoever. That's what it looks like to them. None. Not one bit. Got to step back.
Pray. And let Jesus Christ do what He's going to do. Good or bad. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. As much as we think that we want to do something, we are not in control. We are not in control of what happens to our... Hey, we can go out there and I can raise my children. Oh, I can raise them in the Bible, teach them, show them. I mean, do everything in my power that the Bible tells me to do. And you know what? Whose choice it comes down to? Theirs.
That's right.
They have to choose Jesus Christ. I can't force it on them.
That's right.
And God forbid if I ever did that because I know the misery me and my wife went through. Somebody keeps... I used to watch her cry. At leaving camp meetings, Pastor, because somebody tried to tell her that she was okay. It's only a figment of her imagination. Don't worry about what the devil's telling you in your head. That was the Holy Ghost trying to tell her something. Step back and don't, you know what? You ever want to do something? Don't ever sit there and tell anybody they're saved or lost. You let God take care of that.
That's right.
Don't ever cross that line. You may condemn them to hell. God forbid. Is that something? That's why I say, you know, the testimony that we live is so very important. I'm glad God's making me weak like that. And I'm not talking about I'm a weakling. But it's keep my mouth closed. You know why? Because even a fool, when they keep their mouth closed, is kind of wise. I'm a fool, man, when it comes to getting stuff like that. I'm a fool. Sometimes I talk out of my mouth and I should. You know, I have an ex-correction officer that watched over me for years living where I live. And thank God for everything he's done. Just me and my wife have been going through some really hard times, some real struggles. I mean, to the point where it's just like, there's no way we're going to make it. And yet, here's the thinking of my God. Dale, I need you to go ahead and write them a check for such and such amount, and I need you to give that to them.
I'm trying now.
What? I walked up to my wife and I told her, she just looked at me like, well, if that's what God told you, we better do it. Yeah, we're just going to do it. So, but the testimony of the very man that watched me as a criminal, watched over me in prison, even Sharon, while I slept and everything, counted my very head for years, is living in the where I am, next to me. What's the odds of him living next to me?
Amen.
And then God opened a door for me to be able to be a witness to him. Hated police. Hated correction officers. Hated them with a passion. They were my worst enemies, man. Got me and him to conversate just about every day. Huh? That's the power of the Lord right there. But why would I not want to go out there and share it with someone else? Most of the day get their lives trained. Most of the day get saved and go out there and be a witness like that. Do you think it was a mistake for us writing that check home? I think God took care of us pretty well, don't you, for doing that? We just said, we're going to trust the Lord. Bam! That is it. Write it and get it done. And they're nice people. The kids are outside playing. They'll stop. Hi, how you doing? So we had the kids bring them over cookies and a Christmas card, and that's how it was given. And I got not even a couple hours later, the guy just called up, absolute crying, just couldn't believe because he needed it so bad. They were failing so quickly, and just that what we gave him. I mean, just, he said, "You just don't understand how much that helped me." I said, "Man, let me tell you something. God put it on my heart. You must have really needed it, and that's fine." You know, and I just said, "You go ahead and do what you have to do with it. If there's anything, matter of fact, I'm even helping them get a job."
Amen.
My good. What else? What else, Lord? Come on, you know. Let's go, you know. I like it, you know. So anyway, because, you know, Jesus moved into my heart. He moved into my life. A man that couldn't do that for me. Though I know the men that love me. I know you love me, man. I know you love me. I know there's men that love me, but they couldn't save me. And there's people in here who I love dearly. I can't save you, though. I wish I could. But it just ain't going to happen. When Jesus saves us for eternity. Here's a perfect example of those who claim salvation and don't have it. Luke 13 verse 23 says, "Then one saith unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive ye to enter at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then he shall begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye that workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And ye yourselves are thrust out." I'm just telling you right now, that tree that people want to cut down, that tree needs to be left alone. Let God step in. Otherwise, guess what? They end up like Luke 13. They end up just like this person right here. They're tricked into believing that they're okay. And then when Jesus comes back to go get them, guess what? He's going to say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." There's no change in their life. There's not a change in their heart. No desires have changed in their life or their own. They sit there and they come to church and it looks all good and they go home and live a life of absolute wickedness. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I make mistakes. But God forbid if we're going to stay in them. Mm-hmm. When God shows me and my family something, we're going to work on it. As a family, if he shows me something by myself, I'm going to work on it. Am I right, Andy? There's things that you have to work on yourself. God, work on myself. There's things that we have to work on as a family. But why don't you just be this person that you see here? I'm the same way at home. I'm the same way at work. I work with Jehovah's Witnesses. And you know what? I'm just as nice to them as they... she's really a nice lady. And I'm nice to her. You know, I know I'm her enemy. That's in her mind. But I have Jesus in me. There's nothing you can say to me to convince me otherwise. There's nothing you can come up to me with your new religions and all this stuff. You ain't changing my mind. Listen to me. When I got saved, I got convinced.
Amen.
When I started reading this Bible, I knew there's something to this thing. I would hear a pastor always say, there's something to this Bible. And I go, But I'm just telling you now, after studying it for the way I have been, there's something to this Bible. It's alive, man. It's alive. Take somebody like me, and now here I am working with I made a joke to him. He said, oh, gosh, I could really use a job. It'd be nice if the place you work at would hire me. I said, boy, if they take an old convict like me, they'll sure take a correction officer like you. He just started laughing, you know. He's I said, you're all right. I said, you'll be fine, you know. So I've already called my boss quite a few times and, you know, dropped a bug in her ear, gave him the name, and he's going to take care of things. So hopefully, maybe he'll get the job. But there's so many who are sitting in these pews even today, even at the Black Creek Baptist Church, who are filling these pews. And guess what? The Lord's going to come back one day. They've confessed. They got saved. They live a life just absolutely corrupt. And they're sitting in the pews. And you know what? The Lord's going to come back and say, get away from me, you worker iniquity. That them are the pew fillers. Those are the ones that week after week, I don't care how much preaching you're sitting under, nothing ever happens to you. There's something wrong there. There's something wrong with Jesus Christ. And I understand you can become stale and stagnant. Believe me, you can become that. But it's called out of season. I'm telling you now, one of the hardest things to do is to live a Christian life out of season, to run a house, to be the man of the house, to keep a job, to get up here and preach, to do Sunday school out of season. I'm telling you now, it takes a whole lot to get through that.
That's right.
But you know what? You come out the other side. You don't stay in the same position.
Yeah.
How could I when I have Jesus Christ living in me? That's what I don't understand, these people. You have Jesus Christ living in you. It says that by His strength you can do all things. On my own strength, I fall flat on my face and I'll stay there and wiggle around like an old worm. But you know what? When I do get it right, and I do get it right sometimes, and Jesus Christ is working in me, and by His strength, man, I'm just telling you now, watch out.
But you have these people who claim salvation. Now, you know, I watch them all the time. And I just sit there and go, what happened? Why?
That's not His will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's okay if you're re-lost.
It's okay to admit that you're lost. It's okay to let God work in you. It's when you sit there and call yourself a Christian and reject everything.
That's when it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. Now the Holy Ghost can't do what He's been trying to do in your life because you won't listen. You don't want to see it. You got the blinders on. You're seeing one way and that's it.
Come on.
Those that were filling the pews. These are the ones that pastors and evangelists and preachers and teachers brag on and put a notch in their belt. While this person sits in the church pew with no conversion, no repentance, no change, and has no clue why or even think that they got saved. Most have no clue why they even need to be saved or what they need to be saved from. Repentance and true salvation never came, but these people are led to believe that they're saved. When no change or fruit comes into their lives, confusion sets in. You ever sit there and watch somebody who claims that they're saved, that watch somebody who really did get saved and see what's going on in their life and wonder, why don't I have that? Mm. A man will walk up to him and say, oh, it's just happening a little slower to you. Here, don't worry. 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. Why isn't it happening to me? Why aren't they changing on that? Oh, you're right. You're just a little slow. The devil's playing with you.
How sad. How sad that the Holy Ghost, God is working so hard in their hearts to get them to see that thing and be done with it.
I know. I struggled with it for 4 years. Well, more than 4 years. But really, a real diligent seeking for salvation for 4 years. And it just took, it was over with. When God got me to that point, He was done digging and done dunging with the Word of God. I finally seen it, and guess what? Fruit started bearing. I got saved. Something new happened to me, man.
Yeah.
You see? Now, has it been fast? No. I smoked for a year and a half after salvation or whatever. Still cussed and all that kind of stuff. It's not perfect.
But I know he's working in me. I tell you that much right now. I don't care what anybody. I know he is. And that, you know, I'm not even worried if you guys think he's working in me. I'm convinced in myself enough to know that he's working in me. To become who I am? Impossible. They tried so many drugs on me and everything else to try to get me to change, and it did no good. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I said, you love Luke and Autumn, don't you? And she said, yes. Could you imagine walking out on them? She said, no. I said, I walked out on my kids because their love didn't change me. The love of Jesus Christ did, though.
Amen.
Amen. That'll work.
And I, you know, I feel bad. I am so sorry for what I've done to them. I can't do anything. I try to be their friend, their dad, talk to them, tell them how much I love them and this and that. I pray for them on a daily basis. But you know what? That's how much I love. Nothing. Is that I was able to turn my back on my children, just walk out of their life and never look at them again. Hey, let me tell you something about today. That was just, it was getting pretty bad when I was a kid. But now it's the norm.
Right.
Now it's the norm. Now it's the norm to do that to people. Thank God I got saved and he opened my eyes and my heart and I see things differently. And I wish everybody else could, but you know what I learned? They don't. Oh, how I would like to. Why? Because I see it now. You want everybody else to? Yeah, I wish that. But it doesn't work that way. But you can pray for them. We can pray. Hey, I'll tell you what make a huge impact is you going out there living your Christian life the way you're supposed to.
Oh, yes.
That'll make an impact. Don't just do it here. Go out there and live it like you're supposed to. I know you're afraid of your friends and your co-workers and all that stuff. But let me tell you something. They'll drag it. You know what they're going to do? Drag it down to their level because that's where they need you.
Right.
I'm just telling you now. Don't let them do it. We know that we have separation in our family and stuff. We know how they think of us and all that. Guess what? You ain't changing us. You're not getting to us. It's settled. We're going to do this thing the best way we know how. Jesus Christ with the King James Bible coming to church. I didn't feel good again this morning, did I? Oh, guess where I'm at? Now, if I was puking and all that, I probably wouldn't be here. But if I can do it, I would be here. She knows how much I hate missing church. I think that's just a little special thing God gave me when he broke me. It's a love for the house of God, second to none. I love being here. Even in a bad mood, I like being here. Let me just go ahead. Most have no clue why they need to be saved. Repentance and true salvation never came, but people are led to believe they are saved when no fruit comes. They tell them that's just a new life and that you're okay. Give it time. And then they become too afraid to let down the pastor or the evangelist to tell them that they're really not saved. Do you know so many people will sit in a church pew afraid to tell their pastor or preacher or whoever, you know, I really didn't get saved. You know why? Because they jumped down their throat. People, if you're not saved, go ahead. Our pastors and stuff are okay with you saying that you're lost. I guarantee you they're not going to jump down their throat and treat you any different. They're going to preach a King James Bible to you, pray and let the Holy Ghost work in your life. They're not going to jump down your throat. Of course they want to see you saved and they love you and they want things to happen. But I guarantee you this, they're not going to jump down your throat like I've seen it happen. What do you mean you're not? How can you not be saved? Because I'm not. Just didn't happen when you wanted it. God knows what he's doing. And this person becomes too afraid to tell them that they're not saved. Then Luke 13:23-28 becomes their reality. And they sit there with no hope and live out their days refusing the Holy Ghost conviction because a man has convinced them that they are saved. And the depth of the deception runs so deep, even in our Baptist churches. We have them going out there doing the same thing in our Baptist churches. They've fallen into that disgusting trap. Tell me, please, go into your King James Bible right now and show me one lick of evidence where it says they used the Roman road to get somebody saved. Show me. That's what I want to know. People don't even understand the Romans road. How are you going to use it to get them saved? They have no clue. Oh, yeah, I'm a bad person. Well, why are you a bad person? Guarantee they won't say because they broke any of God's laws.
Yeah.
They have no clue they're breaking God's laws. The law is our schoolmaster to show us. It doesn't save us, but you need to know why. People don't know why. Why? Because they get this prayer and this Romans road and now here you go, kick them out. And you know what? Most people who do that, who put a notch on their belt, they never spend any time with them people ever again. They don't even call them up. Yeah, 25 people got saved. Where are they? Everybody's looking at the church view. Where are they? Oh, they're still out there doing it. Yep.
You did your job. You ruined any chance of somebody coming by and trying to work with them. This is where people are filling the pews. That's what we have today. We have pew fillers. Something's going to break. You know why? Because God said His word will not return void. But yet, you know what? We're making it return void. We're blocking it. We're blocking the Holy Ghost. We're trying to stop the work of God in people's life. And we need to stop that. It's a dangerous place. There's preachers and pastors out there that are doing this very thing, and they don't realize how much of accountability they're going to hold standing up there in judgment one day. Mm-hmm. Doing this very thing. Now please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying somebody can't get saved by the Romans Road. But enough is enough. That's not meant for the people of today. I'm telling you that right now. Romans Road never did me any good, did it? You have to convince you or anything? No. So I'm just saying, let's go out there and get some people in here. Let God work in their life. Let God fill these pews. That we, you know what can happen? These pews can be filled by some people who got real salvation. Real salvation. They're not just pew fillers. And I'm done. Amen.